All right, we're going to begin now. I'd like to introduce our keynote speaker for our conference today. Dr. Peter J. Murphy works for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops and serves as the Executive Director for the Secretariat on Evangelization and Catechesis. Dr. Murphy has a doctorate in ministry from the Catholic University of America, as well as a master's degrees in theology and counseling. Peter has worked as an elementary school teacher, residence hall director, college director of student formation and administrative faculty, also as adjunct theology professor and director of the Office of Family Life in the Archdiocese of Washington. Peter is a parishioner at Sacred Heart Parish in Bowie, Maryland, where he lives with his wife Katie and their three beautiful boys. I'm talking with Dr. Murphy just a few minutes ago, I came to realize that he's one of those few people that was actually born in the Washington, D.C. area and decided to live his entire life there. Oftentimes people go to visit and they come right back, but he stayed the whole time. So please give a very warm welcome to Dr. Peter J. Murphy.
Thank you so much for having me. I'd like to start off thanking Bishop Mulvey for inviting me and his wonderful staff, Margaret, Jaime, and Heath, for welcoming me here today, inviting me to speak to you about something that's a passion on my heart, the new evangelization, real love, a desire that I have to share with you about that. And what a beautiful way to start the day with a beautiful Mass. And you've probably been to Masses at large venues before. It's hard to sometimes have a spiritual sense, a real intimacy with our Lord in the Eucharist. But I just compliment the staff here, because today was such a beautiful Mass with the choir, bishop, and others, just making a really powerful experience of prayer to help us start our day, to think about, to dive into, to take a step further into the new evangelization. Because there's so much excitement, there's so much joy, there's so much happening in the church right now. Our Holy Father has been named Man of the Year. Who would have known? He's named Best Dressed Man of the Year by Esquire. I don't know how that happened, but he wears the same thing most days. But it's amazing how our faith is starting to permeate culture in a whole new way. And in order for that to be effective, we can't just let Pope Francis be in the newspapers. We have to follow up those conversations where people say, what did he talk about? What does he mean by that? Why is he doing that? Why is he washing their feet? Why is he talking to these people? Why is he engaging in newspapers? What is he saying? It's up to us now to take it to the next level and to begin those encounters with others to really help them understand what's going on. I'd like to start with a prayer. When Pope Francis talks about the new evangelization, he's always said we need to start with prayer. And so I'd like to dive in with a prayer for the new evangelization and start that way. Let's begin together in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach? And how can people preach unless they are sent? Heavenly Father, pour forth your Holy Spirit to inspire me with these words from Holy Scripture. Stir in my soul the desire to renew my faith and deepen my relationship with your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that I might truly believe in him and live the good news. Open my heart to hear the gospel and grant me the confidence to proclaim the good news to others. Pour out your Spirit, so that I might be strengthened to go forth and witness the gospel in my everyday life through my words and actions. But in moments of hesitation, remind me, if not me, then who will proclaim the gospel? If not now, then when will the gospel be proclaimed? And if not the truth of the gospel, then what shall I proclaim? Father, I pray that through the Holy Spirit, I might hear the call of the new evangelization to deepen my faith, grow in confidence to proclaim the gospel, and boldly witness to the saving grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Well, I think it's interesting, as I was praying about the speaking with you today and thinking about the conversation of the new evangelization, I thought it might be good to do a bit of a review. What happened right before this encyclical came out that really got us, this apostolic exhortation came out that got us talking so much about the new evangelization? What happened the year before? Just a few months ago it ended. The year of faith. Let's do a bit of a review. How was the year of faith for you? Awesome, I heard. Some others look at me like, it was kind of a year that was called the year of faith. If you're like me, the year of faith was a bit like Lent. We start off Lent with so much fervor and zeal. We have all of our, what we want to do. I laid out the documents of Vatican II. I had the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults, which I was going to read through. I had the creed, which I was going to pray every day. And I had the best of intentions. And we begin on this journey of faith through the year of faith. And what happens is we begin that journey. We start to, maybe I missed the creed yesterday. That's okay. Okay, I missed it the whole last week. I haven't got to the USCCA yet, but I'll get there eventually to the catechism. And we start to kind of slip. The new evangelization, the journey in the new evangelization is going to require a continual outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just like our journeys in Lent. We start off with good ideals and fervor, and that's good, and we should have those. But as we start to falter, we need to keep turning back to our Lord. Prayer is so vital in this journey because we're being challenged. It's an exciting time, but it's also a very challenging time in the new evangelization. What does the Holy Father say in Evangelii Gaudium? And today, I'm going to be referring to the Holy Father's encyclical, Evangelii Gaudium, which is also the joy of the gospel. Quite often, some of the best quotes have already been taken from Bishop Mulvey, but he has the prerogative to do that as your pastor. So, but there's a lot to be read in here, a lot of wonderful gems. And then also, the Committee on Evangelization and Catechesis' document, Disciples Called to Witness the New Evangelization, which came out in 2012. A call here in the United States to go out and engage others, particularly those of our brothers and sisters who have drifted from the church, and to reinvite them, invite them back into the community of faith. And so I'll be referring to those two documents as we go along. And the Holy Father says, all of us are called to offer an explicit witness to the saving love of the Lord. An explicit witness to the saving love of the Lord. How do we do with that? It's very challenging. Have you ever been in a conversation you thought, wow, this is a chance for me to talk about my faith? And we kind of take a step back. Or maybe there's a conversation at work in the lunchroom, and people are talking about maybe what the Holy Father said. And you're thinking, I could contribute to this, but it's not going in a very good tone. Maybe I should just step back. We have a lot of fear, a lot of hesitancy, and that's very normal. That's why in the scriptures, our Lord constantly is calling us to say, do not be afraid. Why should we not be afraid? It is I. The Lord is with us. So in those lunchroom conversations, there's fear, but the Lord is there. In those conversations that are challenging and you're called to say something, it might be fearful, but know that the Lord is there. It's in those moments that He will give you the words to say, and He will inspire you. As I was going through the year of faith, I was mentioning that kind of roller coaster ride that we all go through in spiritual life. One day I was sitting in adoration praying, and I had all my books there, and I was going through my normal routine. And the Lord said to me, Peter, you need to wake up. You've been doing the same thing. You've become very routine in your life. You've gotten comfortable. You know what you believe, and you become comfortable with that. You have your friends, and you have your network, but how have you broken out of that? Wake up. The church is called to wake up in the new evangelization. All of us. We all get comfortable at times, and the Holy Father is not going to let us just stay there, as was highlighted today. We cannot just stay safe in our parishes with the communities of people that we're comfortable with. We're being called to go out to the peripheries, to the margins, to those who have never heard the gospel. I was surprised when I was at a conference on catechesis, and Pope Francis was speaking about catechesis, and he was talking to the catechists. And you kind of wonder, what is he going to say? And he talked about, as catechists, it's important that we teach the faith, we pass it on, of course it's important. But he said, don't forget to go out of your classrooms, to go to the margins, and to find that child, that person who doesn't even know how to make the sign of the cross, who doesn't have an understanding of who Jesus is. That's a catechesis. That is evangelization. Taking the gospel to where it's never been proclaimed before. Reaching out anew to touch those hearts and minds. Now, this is nothing new for your diocese. As I was preparing for this talk, I went and looked at your website. And your mission statement for the diocese calls every one of you here, you're called to witness to what you are in Jesus. And later it says, to reach out to others and invite them to share in the same joy, the joy of the gospel. We're inviting people to something wonderful, to something joyful, to something that's going to change their lives. And that's a call for all of us today. So what does the new evangelization mean for us? What does it mean for us as a church, in our parishes, and in our lives? Again, our Holy Father says, let us go forth then. Let us go forth to offer everyone the life of Jesus Christ. I prefer a church that is bruised, hurting, and dirty because it has been out in the streets rather than a church which is unhealthy from being confined and clinging to its own security. When I first read The Joy of the Gospel, and it's particularly this section where he talks about pastoral workers, and we'll talk about that a bit more later, it was very challenging. I've read a lot of documents in the past that challenged me intellectually or I had to wrestle with ideas. This one really hit me home personally. Our Holy Father speaks directly to the minds and hearts of people. The same truth is being shared as shared by all of the popes before him. He's doing it in a slightly different way that challenges us individually. And the challenges come mostly for us as Catholics to reach out, to change, to not become comfortable, to go out into the world, to be missionary disciples. As parishes, he says, we no longer can stay in our church buildings, but each Christian and every community must discern the path the Lord points out. Each of us are called and asked to obey his call, to go forth from our comfort zone in order to reach all the peripheries in need of the light of the gospel. You may have heard in parishes sometimes it's called a maintenance model where we become very focused on ourselves and how we as a parish community can support ourselves. And your bishop highlighted very clearly that that is not the model for us anymore. It's the model to think, how can we serve others? How can we always be reaching out, inviting new people? If we have our Bible study, how can we invite more people into it? We may have had the same 12 people for the past 2 years. How could we expand that? With RCIA, we have 3, 4, 5 candidates, catechumens coming through. Are we comfortable? Or do we pray for 20, 40, 60, 100 to come through? And do we really believe that the Holy Spirit can work in such a way to make that happen? And then how does the new evangelization challenge us personally? And this is where the Holy Father gets, I think, one of the key points of the new evangelization that has been reiterated time and again. I invite all Christians everywhere, no matter where we are, at this very moment, so even here and now, as you're listening to me, to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ, or at least an openness to letting him encounter them. And I ask all of you to do this unfailingly each day. Encounter with the Lord each day, turning to our Lord in prayer and truly encountering him in our lives. And he helps us do that by giving us words and a prayer to say. So let's pray that together now. Lord, I've let myself be deceived. In a thousand ways I have shunned your love. Yet here I am once more to renew my covenant with you. I need you. Save me once again, Lord. take me once more into your redeeming embrace. It's amazing how our Holy Father just digs right into our souls, is right there with us in this new evangelization, journeying with us. How often we fall short. And sometimes we're so aware of our sins, of our shortcomings, of our weaknesses, of our lack of preparation. And sometimes that can hold us back. It can burden us. If you're like me, sometimes we focus on that a lot, that whole sense of Catholic guilt. It affects my life. It may affect yours as well. But to be able to go past that and say, Lord, I realize I am weak, but I also realize you've come for the weak. I realize I'm a sinner, and you've come for the sinner. Thank God he's come for the sinner so that we can all be saved. And Lord, I know that you can give me the grace to move forward in this new evangelization. Traditionally, we often think of Catholic evangelization as missionary activity. And when you think of missionaries, what do you think of? Traveling to a foreign land. And so in Catholic circles, often when we talk about evangelization, it would mean either two things, either traveling to another country or this proselytization. And it's not that at all. Catholic evangelization is sharing Christ where we are every moment of every day and trusting in the Holy Spirit to make that happen. The Holy Father makes it very simple for us. He gives us a plan on how to do this. And it's simply the plan of Jesus Christ himself. When we turn to Scripture, we'll see exactly how our Lord evangelizes. And it starts off very human, as we would call it in catechetical circles, a pre-evangelization. He just encounters the human person. He asks us, what are your thoughts? What are your concerns? What are your fears? He did this for the disciples on the road to Emmaus. So when we listen to the story, let's think about how Christ evangelizes. Now that very day, when they were need to get my eyes checked. My mom's been telling me that for a long time, and I haven't gone to the doctor. Now that very day, two of them were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing them. He asked them, this is how Jesus began his evangelization, what are you discussing as you walk along? They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place these days? And he replied to them, what sort of things? What's our Lord doing? He's entering into their lives where they are. Think about these disciples. They've been following our Lord, excited. The Messiah had come. They felt their hopes and dreams had been fulfilled. And then he died. A most humiliating death, an embarrassment to Christ and to them. We were following this man. He was our leader. And look what happened to him. They were embarrassed. They were ashamed, probably angry. What have we given up to follow this man? And there was a part of them that I kept wondering as well. We kept hearing about 3 days something was going to happen, but we're not sure. We obviously don't believe because we're still traveling away from Jerusalem. When our Lord comes, he doesn't start off chastising. He doesn't say, ye of little faith, how could you not believe? He doesn't put them down. He says, tell me about your concerns. When we evangelize, that's exactly how we begin. Tell me about your concerns. What are the pains? What is your suffering? What's going on in your life? And that's where Christ begins. What sort of things? They said to him, the things that had happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, not the Lord, he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and the people. And how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over and sentenced him to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it's now the 3rd day since this took place. Some of the women from our group have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. Then he says to them, "Oh, how foolish you are! How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Their pain, their suffering, he turns it and says, "Isn't this part of the plan?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in the scriptures. He refers to scriptures. He takes those scripture quotes that are most important to them to help them understand about who he is, what he came for after he has heard all their concerns, because now it's making sense to them. They're starting to understand. And as they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going further. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." His presentation had been appealing, attractive, engaging. It touched their hearts. They wanted him to stay longer. Still not believing, they want him with them. They say, "Stay with us, be with us. This is part of our journey." And so he stayed with them. And as it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread and said the blessing, broke it and gave it to them. And with that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. In the Eucharist, they came to that full realization. This is our Lord. This is truly the one who we have come to believe, that we want to follow. Evangelization isn't meant to be beating someone over the head with the Gospels. It's not meant to be in your face, or as the bishop said, carrying placards and signs, or putting down anyone. It's being with people. It's sharing the love and the joy of the Gospel that we have in our hearts. As we moved into the new evangelization, many themes have arisen. And we'll talk about many of these as we go along, the first and foremost being the personal encounter with Christ, the need for the Holy Spirit to go out, to serve the poor, and the important role of parishes in the new evangelization. So what is the new evangelization? Many people keep saying, "Tell me what it is. You talk about this new evangelization. Is it the old? How's it different? What's so new about it?" Well, in Disciples Called to Witness, there's a very simple explanation of what the new evangelization is. The new evangelization is the opportunity to deepen our faith in Christ. Each and every one of us in our journeys have the opportunity to grow deeper in love with our Lord, to dig deep, to go deeper in our faith, to trust Him more, to encounter Him every day. Why? So that we can grow in confidence in the gospel. What's the important word there? Confidence in the gospel. Having that confidence that when we talk about the scriptures, when we talk about our faith, we're truly confident that this is true, this is real. I have experienced the Lord for myself, and I'm sharing that with you now. I believe this in the depths of my heart. If we don't have that conviction, it does come across as very awkward. So growing in the confidence, we're deepening our faith so that we can have the confidence in the Gospels to then go out and share. And we see then the logic of the year of faith, opportunities to grow deeper, to grow in confidence so that we can enter into this new evangelization and share the gospel boldly with others who so desperately need it. The new evangelization isn't simply just a program. It's not just a new way of doing something. It's a new way of being a church. It's a new way of being a Christian. It's a new way of thinking. It's a lens that we look at the whole world differently through the gospel to go out. The call has always been there. It's a new rekindling of that idea, a recapturing, a growing deeper, and the opportunity to do that. New can also be translated an abundant evangelization, a fruitful evangelization, an effective evangelization. Have we been effective in reaching out to others? As a church, in our country, our numbers have stayed fairly relatively the same. We hear about mass exoduses, but there's also many people joining the church. But how wonderful it would be if the church in the United States grew and grew and grew. Like much in this region, the church is growing. How can we learn as a nation to continue to have this fostering of faith, this incredible growth? Our Holy Father points out that there's been a breakdown in many ways on how Catholics pass down the faith to the young. Many people feel disillusioned, no longer identify with the Catholic tradition, and there's a certain exodus towards other faith communities. Many Catholics want to share the faith, but don't feel prepared to do so. So what do we need to do to evangelize? Encounter the Lord. I would challenge each of you to think about that. In your life, each day, how do you encounter the Lord? How do you feel his presence? How do you hear his voice? What is it that speaks to you in your heart? Because that's exactly what Christ is calling us to. That's what our Holy Father is calling us to. This encounter. Because once we have that encounter with the Lord, all things are going to be transformed. When the Samaritan woman encountered the Lord, she went to the well in her shame, in her embarrassment, and trying to hide from others in the heat of the day. So she went to be alone. She met the Lord, and then what does she do after that immediate encounter? She runs back and shares her testimony. She was transformed. That encounter with the Lord, a true encounter, changed her forever. And simply by her going back into town and telling others what had happened, what happens? More people follow the Lord. She only shared how Christ had touched her life. We're called to do the exact same thing. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. It's meant to be simple. It's meant to be the love of the Lord pouring forth from our encounter, going forth and sharing that story. Sometimes we find it hard to do, but it's the normal way of life. It's how we live as Catholics. The new evangelization has been growing over decades. It's not something brand new that just came up. It's been happening and growing. From Paul VI, when he mentioned how the church exists in order to evangelize, back in the mid-70s, to Blessed John Paul II, who talked about the new evangelization being new in ardor, in methods and expression. We have to have a new passion, a new way of sharing the faith so that it can touch people's lives where they are, and new ways of doing that. Blessed John Paul II also highlighted what Evangelii Gaudium also highlights, are the audiences of the new evangelization. Who are we meant to speak to in this new evangelization? We're meant to speak to those who have already heard the faith, those of us who are here today. The new evangelization is for us, to challenge us, to grow deeper, to experience the love of God anew. The new evangelization is also for those who have never heard the gospel, to those who have never had the fortune to hear the gospel of Christ, to encounter Christ. We're called to go out and share the gospel. But what's new about the new evangelization, and Pope Benedict highlighted this also very often by talking about the need to repropose the gospel to those who have already heard it, but who have lost the living sense of the faith. I don't know about you, but I don't have to go far to think about in my own family, friends, neighbors, those who are baptized, but who have lost the living sense of the faith, so much so that they're not even connected to the church anymore, that they don't live as Christians. We're called to repropose the gospel, and sometimes that can be more challenging. How many of you do marriage preparation or baptism preparation? How many of you work with other adult faith formation programs? Sometimes it can be very difficult when you have someone come before you and they say, I already know all this. I've heard it before. I'm just here because I want to get married in the church or baptize my child. That's an opportunity for the new evangelization to repropose the gospel. How can we share the love of Christ in a way that they hadn't heard before? Because when they heard it the first time, it didn't take root. Something about it didn't hold into their hearts. There's a pain, there's a suffering, something's missing. And we don't immediately turn them away and say, well, this isn't for you. But we, in the new evangelization, we engage them. Tell me about your faith. Tell me why our Lord didn't how going to Mass was so boring. Why was it so boring? Well, what was it about the faith that you did like? And then start to listen, ask questions, and learn. Reproposing the gospel can be very difficult because sometimes many people have preconceived notions of what the church is. Oh, you're Catholic, then you must be X, Y, and Z. And we have to break that model. And again, we have in our Holy Father someone who is breaking a model. And he's showing us, we might think, that's not what a Holy Father normally does. That's not what a Pope does. And maybe traditionally in the past, recent, they didn't act that way or speak that way or communicate in a certain way. But he's challenging us to do the same thing in our circumstances. So in our families, in our parishes, how do we repropose the gospel? How do we live as true evangelists? There's a personal questions we have to wrestle with. And Pope Francis is challenging us in many ways to do that, as have the other popes before him. Now, what is the culture that we're going into? As we move into the new evangelization, there's also the challenge to say, who are we evangelizing? What is the culture when we go out? And we know many of this instinctively. Benedict XVI, John Paul II, Francis have all highlighted the vast secularization that's taking place, where religion, and we're seeing more and more, is being pushed out of the public square. It's no longer appropriate to talk about faith. In fact, practice your faith in your churches, but not in the world. We don't talk about that here. Growing up, we always said politics and religion are things not to be talked about. I grew up in D.C., so politics, of course, was talked about way too much. In fact, as I was introduced, it was mentioned that I still live in D.C., having grown up there. When I went to college, I thought I would never go back. There's too much traffic, too much political rancor going on. But it must have been the prayers of my mother that brought me back, because I came back and brought with her now three of her grandsons to be with her. And so her prayers really worked. But that secularization, where our faith is being shunned and pushed to the outskirts. Cardinal Wuerl, in a presentation at the Synod on the new evangelization and in previous discussions since, talked about secularization as almost a tide, a huge, almost a tsunami of sorts that came in and washed away all the anchors of faith that we used to have in our communities. Marriage, family, faith traditions, things that in our culture were pretty generally understood and pillars that we could count on. Something's happened where they're just washed away, and now we have to explain these things anew for the first time, what these foundational aspects mean. And so that secularization, materialism, as we know, the desire for goods, so strong. An individualism where I think I can do it on my own. And we sometimes even see that in our parishes where when we talk about faith, it's between me and God, but not the community. We need each other. The Caris studies of recent have been giving us more statistics. 23% of Catholics attend Mass each week. 23%. While a sad number, it also means that there's so much hope in the new evangelization. There are 76% of Catholics that we can reach out to invite them back, to reconnect. But when Kara talks about why people stop going to Mass, stop practicing their faith, what do you think are some of the main reasons? Is it because of doctrinal issues? They disagree with the church's teachings on contraception or marriage? No, that didn't come up in the top list. The first and foremost thing, the busyness of life. We're so busy, so many things are happening that we don't have time for Mass. And the importance of the Eucharist, the importance of our Lord has slipped in the in people's priorities. Busyness of life was right there. Health was another one. Health and disabilities. Are we welcoming those in our communities who need assistance? Simply to get into the church? Are our churches accessible? Are our doors truly open so that all can participate and be with us at the Eucharist? Family responsibilities was there. That's an important aspect of life. But sometimes these family responsibilities, and I don't know about how it is here in South Texas, but I know on the East Coast, suddenly I've been noticing more and more soccer games on Sunday morning. There's more and more scouting activities. Suddenly that time that used to be reserved for our Lord is no longer reserved in our culture for our Lord. And so there's challenges to do other things. And so we start to see our kids showing up in their soccer uniforms because they have to rush off afterwards. Thank God that they're there. But unfortunately, some other families will lose that and spend more time with the soccer. And so we have to then repropose to them the importance of the Sunday Eucharist. Conflicts with work, where work is cutting into Mass. The fifth and sixth reasons, that people do not longer believe that missing Mass is a sin, and they also don't believe that they're religious people. I'm just not religious. I don't have that connection with our Lord. It's not part of who I am. And that's the opportunity for us to talk about the nature of the human person to someone. No, that we're literally made for this. That we want true fulfillment. This is what brings us happiness, because we connect with our spiritual side, and you have to keep taking the language and make it appropriate to the person, but to connect with them. Our Holy Father highlights many other challenges as well. The culture of exclusion that isolates people in society, an idolatry of money, a globalized indifference to the poor, where financial institutions and matters are more important than people, and how this depersonalization is happening globally. And we have to be aware of this as we move into the new evangelization. But again, as I mentioned earlier, what hit me most was the section in the Apostolic Exhortation where he talks about temptations faced by pastoral workers. I thought, oh, this is going to be about me. This is about you, us who are in the vineyard working. What does our Holy Father say? It's very challenging and very practical. As I read some of that, I thought, oh my goodness, is he in my heart and soul? That sometimes we get concerned for our personal freedom and relaxation. Have you ever thought, oh, I just want some more time to relax. I just want to take more time to just be. And sometimes that is very necessary and important. But the Holy Father says sometimes we're a little too concerned about that. We're more concerned about our relaxation, our free time, than actually serving the Lord and letting the joy of the Lord transform us. He talks about an inferiority complex. Again, he's speaking to you and I, those of us who are in the church, going to Mass each week, sharing the faith with others, being catechists, school teachers, working in marriage prep programs, helping those who are growing in their faith. He challenges us because he says these realities of secularization, individualism, materialism, they affect us. They impact our lives too. We're not immune from the challenges of the world. And he asks us to look into our hearts and say, how do they affect us? Do we suffer from an inferiority complex where we start to wonder, is this really true? The media's not on here. Hollywood is not supportive. Many people I talk to at work don't understand. Is it really true? He says, sometimes we struggle. Relativism. Sometimes we start to think, well, maybe that is okay. Maybe it's okay for them, and I'm just different. The culture can slowly buy its way into our hearts. What are some of the effects of that? Poorly done activities, he talks about. Because they don't have the right motivation. Are we doing activities because of our spirituality, as he says, because of our desire to share and help others encounter Christ? Because if not, as people in the vineyard, we're going to get tired. We're going to get worn out. But if we stop, take a step back, reconnect with our Lord, and look at our activities from this new lens, the activity itself can be our joy. It can be our relaxation. It can give us hope. He also talks about a great pragmatism, which he considers as one of the greatest. This is the great pragmatism of the daily life of the church, in which all appears to proceed normally, while in reality, faith is wearing down and degenerating into small-mindedness. That we're becoming really enclosed, thinking about just the issues that are important to us. And this leads to the defeatism that Bishop Mulvey highlighted in his homily, where we're soldiers going out into battle, not even convinced we can win, not thinking it's possible. Of course, the bishop stole my jokes about the sourpuss comment there. I too was shocked when you read it. I never had seen that before, and I don't think we may see it again. That's pretty amazing. But the Holy Father is touching us where we are. It's okay, he says. We struggle with these things. That's normal. But let's re-encounter the Lord and move forward. There's a lot of reasons for hope in the new evangelization. There are many programs, dioceses, parishes are doing in evangelization, youth ministry, young adult, marriage preparation, helping those with the disabilities, masses in various languages. So much is happening in the church. There's so much good going on. We have to always remember that and keep striving for more and more to follow the Lord, to keep this, the goodness going forward. Who's called in the new evangelization? All of us. None of us are excluded. This comes up time and again. All the baptized, whatever their position in the church or their level of instruction in the faith, are agents of evangelization, our Holy Father says. And it would be insufficient to think about evangelization being carried out by professionals and the rest of the faithful sitting by passively and watching. Passive recipients in the new evangelization. None of us are called to be passive. We're all active and get agents in this new evangelization. Every Christian is challenged here and now to be involved. Anyone who has truly experienced God's saving love does not need much time or lengthy training to go out and proclaim the love of Christ. We're all called to enter into this new evangelization, to go out. We all have the capability to share the gospel. Vatican II documents, magisterial and otherwise, have been highlighting this time and again. And so as we go out as evangelizers, what are the qualities that we carry with us? Think about it yourselves before I even talk about these. When you think of someone who's attractive, who's engaging, who you think, I want to be like that person, what are those qualities? What are those things that draw you to someone? Those qualities that drew people to Christ? There's a passion there, an urgency. There's a desire for them to share. They're passionate about what they believe in. They want to convey this truth that they're connected to the church. They want to share the truth that they have been given by Christ and his church. They want to pass it on. We see this in the apostles. St. Paul once, well, we say he was knocked off his horse, but never says that in Scripture. Once St. Paul had his conversion, he immediately wanted to go out and tell others. The woman at the well we talked about already. As soon as someone encounters Christ, they want to go out. There's an urgency. There's a courage. The apostles in the upper room, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were afraid, timid, hiding. When the Holy Spirit came, that changed, and they went out to the crowds and proclaimed the gospel. On our own, we won't have that courage. But with the Holy Spirit, we can. It's a matter of encountering the Lord and asking for that grace and the joyful witness. Joyfully proclaiming our Lord, the happiness of the gospel that permeates our life. Who's called to the new evangelization? You are. I am. We all are. And God's given us the grace we need to go ahead and share the gospel and let him do the rest. We do this through our love for one another. They'll know that you're Christians by your love. How we interact. Pope Paul VI said, modern man listens more willingly to witnesses than to teachers. We don't have to pontificate. We don't have to beat people down, give them professional dissertations or lectures, but they want to see it in us. Are you genuine? Are you consistent? Are you living what you believe? I mentioned how Pope Francis was made Esquire's man of the best dressed of the year. And I didn't read the article, but I did read something about that article where the person, I guess, who gave the award said he was given the award because how he dresses, the simple, humble garb, reflects who he is as a person. The editors at Esquire magazine saw his witness. His witness spoke to them probably more than his words, because his words are very challenging to our culture. But his witness is very attractive and appealing. This man is humble. He's
He embraces those in pain and suffering. He's simple. And his dress reflects that. And they gave him that award. Over, I can't think of all the other famous people, Bradley Cooper and other famous people, they said, who could have been nominated for this because they're sharp suits and all. They said, no, this man's consistent. He's speaking to our hearts, challenging. It's a Christian life lived in charity. That's the most effective form of evangelization. How do we evangelize? It's in our daily life. It's here today as you speak to one another. Do you raise the issue of Christ in your life? Do you talk about your personal encounter? Are we comfortable as Catholics talking about how Christ spoke to me today? Or does that sound strange and foreign? Do we talk about how Christ touched us in the Eucharist? And I'm sure he did. He does, whether we know it or not, but so many of us. Are we able to articulate that and share it joyfully in a passionate way? That Christian life done in our ordinary lives lived extraordinarily well, will evangelize many people. Now, what's one of the critiques of people who've drifted away from the church? They're too busy. And we could have the same critique. I'm far too busy to evangelize. If you look at my schedules, I've got to take Joshua to Cub Scouts. I've got to take Caleb to his practice. I've got to do all these. I'm too busy to evangelize. But as Catholics in this modern world, those are our opportunities to evangelize. Those are our fields of evangelization. When I'm standing on the soccer sidelines for 2 hours watching Joshua, what am I doing? We're talking to other people. There's an opportunity to introduce Christ into that conversation, to share about our parish, to share what just happened that week, to talk about how Christ touched us if it comes up. There's the opportunity to talk to the other, find out what their concerns are. As the bishop mentioned, there are many people hurting, marriages struggling, and we can learn about that in the soccer sidelines, grocery stores, by talking to people. People will share, and then there might be that opportunity to introduce Christ. How do we foster the new evangelization? It's not always just going door to door. It's not calling people on the phone, inviting them back. It is those things, but it's also the daily life that we just confront people in our different situations. Pope Francis also mentions that we evangelize when we're confronting challenges in our world, such as religious liberty, persecution of Christians and others. So how do we do it? It begins with us, encountering Christ daily, renewing our faith, growing in confidence, sharing the gospel. When Jesus called the disciples, they had the same reaction sometimes we do. He calls and says, he gets into the boat and says, go out into the deep. And Peter's like, I've already been there. I've been out there. I've done it. Didn't work. He says, just do it. Trust me. Let me go out. Go out with you. It's after Peter experiences Christ and his power, he realizes his sinfulness. And he confesses his sins and then goes forward. And our Lord says, now you're going to go and fish for men. You're truly going to go out and evangelize, not just fishing for fish, but for hearts to change lives. Do not be afraid as we move forward. The Holy Father says, sure, we want better training and a deepening love and a clearer witness, that we can find ways to communicate Jesus wherever we are. All of us are called to offer that explicit witness to the saving love of the Lord. And he says, in your heart, you know that it is not the same to live without Jesus. In your heart, you know it's not the same to live without him. What you have come to realize, what has helped you to live and given you hope, that is what you also need to communicate to others. What has given you hope? What has helped you to live, that is what we communicate to others. Are we comfortable articulating that, how Christ has given us hope, how he's changed our lives, how he's brought us closer? I know for me, the first time I tried to formally go on evangelization, it was a missionary beach trip. I think I may have gone more for the beach than for the evangelization part. But we were trained on how to share the gospel in these ordinary situations of walking along the beach. And I remember going, and each night we would share, and people would say, oh, I spoke to somebody, and they're reconnecting with their parish, or I talked to somebody, and they never heard of Christ. And I was thinking, I didn't talk to anybody today. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the whole week long, it's Saturday, and we're getting ready to leave. And I'm thinking, I've been a complete failure. I haven't talked to anyone. I've tried. I remember walking into a store and trying to start a conversation. Didn't go anywhere. I was forcing it a little too much. And it was the last day, and so I went to the pier, and I was just sitting there looking at the water thinking, this is awful, Lord. I completely failed you. And some girl came and sat next to me, and we were just talking. And eventually I started telling her about my trip, and she started asking about it. I told her what we were doing and blah, blah, blah. And it was time for the bus, so I had to run back. It wasn't until then I realized, in my darkest hour, when I thought I was defeated, I looked back and said, I just told her all about Christ, the gospel. I didn't mean to. It just happened because she was asking me the questions. It happened that we ended up writing back and forth for years, and she did reconnect with the church. The Holy Spirit worked amazingly. I didn't really do anything because I was too busy focusing on myself. But when we go out and try to share the gospel and make ourselves open, the Lord will bring people to us. Literally, he brought Josie to me. I didn't go find her. She came to me, and our conversation was very natural and real. That's what the new evangelization is. It's going out and sharing the gospel. What has Christ done in your life that has helped you, that has given you hope? And so, while I love to do talks and share this, it's more important, I think, that we actually are able to do that. So I'm going to take 1 minute. And I'd like you to turn to the person next to you. This is a big room, so it might be challenging. And do a little of evangelization. How has Christ touched you? Has he helped you? How has your relationship with Christ brought you hope and joy? And just real briefly, tell the person next to you. Go ahead, 1 minute.
You're listening to a special broadcast of the keynote address for the 2014 Ministry Conference, the Diocese of Corpus Christi, live from the Henry Garrett Ballroom, the American Bank Center in downtown Corpus Christi. Our keynote speaker, Dr. Peter Murphy, Executive Director of the USCCB Secretariat for Evangelization and Catechesis, who's speaking on the new evangelization. He has invited those sitting in the room to evangelize to one another for a 1 minute period. We're going to be going back to the podium shortly. If you're interested in attending, registration remains open today. There will be conferences and presentations throughout the day till 4 o'clock this afternoon at the American Bank Center for the 2014 Ministry Day Conference. The Diocese of Corpus Christi is open, the conference for the Diocese of Corpus Christi is open each year to all people interested in learning more about their Catholic faith, especially beneficial
to
those that do ministry.
Now, it's a bit unfair that I ask you to do it in a minute, because I know, knowing this group, you're going to want to talk more about that, and we should. And so what I'd ask you to do is, throughout the day, feel free to share how Christ has touched your lives. How has the joy of the gospel transformed you? It could be from today, from this morning. It could be from the past. But feel free to share that with one another, that we can build each other up as a body and encourage one another. Our Holy Father gives us a really brief explanation of what evangelization can look like. He says it's respectful and gentle. It's a personal dialogue where we ask the other person what's their concerns, what's hurting them. And then only afterwards, he says, do we maybe bring up a gospel verse or share our personal story, because it's then that the gospel and the scriptures and our stories are speaking directly to their human needs and longings after we've listened. And then we share the fundamental message, he says, of the personal love of God who became man. We share the gospel in a very compact way sometimes, that Christ has come into this world. He lived, he died, and he rose again for me, that I might be free, that I could live joyfully this gospel message. Not dour, not a sourpuss, but happily live this message. And we share that with others. We share the kerygma, the basic gospel message, in a concise way. Or we share our own personal stories. We do it in humility. We can do it in a variety of ways. And he says, and if it's appropriate, end with a little prayer. Again, as Catholics, are we comfortable, after having a wonderful conversation with someone, to say, can we just close this with a quick prayer and offer it to our Lord? The Holy Father says we could think about that. If the situation is appropriate, to close with a prayer. Don't worry if we don't feel that we're confident, that we have the gifts, the ability. Don't feel if we don't have the language to go out. The new evangelization isn't about using theological terms. It's not about having a master's and a doctorate. It's about talking to people's hearts. It's about sharing the joy and the love that you have so that the gospel can truly be enculturated into every culture, every society. CARE has given us studies, as I mentioned earlier, that show that there's so many Catholics. Almost 100 million people are Catholic at some point in their life, while only 3 million are considered to be highly engaged Catholics, those Catholics who come every week to Mass and participate in the parish fully. What an opportunity as Catholics to get that 3 million excited in the new evangelization, equipped to go forward and reach out to the 17, 18 million who come each week to Mass but aren't fully participating in the other parts of the parish, to help them enter more fully. Or for that full 18 million to become equipped and empowered to reach out to the 38 million who come occasionally, or the 50 million who come on Christmas and Easter. To have evangelists in the parish, you and I, with smiles on our faces and joy in our heart, to share with people to say, come on back. I realize you come every Christmas. Come and try it again in January. Come with us. Let me invite you more fully into the parish and to see what is available to you. The Holy Father says, I have a dream of a missionary option. That is a missionary impulse capable of transforming everything. As we go out, our church customs, our ways of doing things, time, schedules, language, and structures are all channeled to the evangelization of today's peoples. Are we willing to change our lives for the new evangelization? To catechize in a way that truly invites others into the faith? To create a culture of witness in our parishes, where parishes are truly welcoming and drawing people in? That we don't close our doors, but they're open and welcoming of everyone, and no matter what their situation. Because more and more people come with what might be called irregular situations. They're not the normal situation that we've encountered. How do we help them navigate into the life of the parish? How do we draw them in and welcome them first and foremost and create that culture of witness? There are many ways, and Disciples Called to Witness highlights many of those, and I don't intend to go through them, but just to let you know that they're available in Disciples Called to Witness, to talk about how to create that culture of witness in our parishes. What can we do? How do we act? What do we do in our outreach programs? Trusting in the Holy Spirit, providing leadership, team preparation, that's all available in Disciples Called to Witness if you want to look at it more. And then what's next? What do we do? How do we go forth from this room today? As the Holy Father says, we have the opportunity to encounter Christ every moment. I hope you've encountered Christ today, and through sharing with one another, you have. Through putting up with me for the past hour, you have, at least carrying the cross, you've experienced that part. But how do we encounter Christ and share that with someone else? It's the work of all of us. We can no longer be passive recipients. I know for myself, sometimes it's easy to step back. Well, let's let Father take care of that. The bishops will take care of that. Their pastor was very good. I'm sure everyone's going to follow that. No, their pastor was for me to go out and share with others. It's for me to share, to spread the word, that through my encounter with Christ, through all the resources provided by our pastors and our leaders, our bishops, that we can go forward empowered. I don't know about you, but after Mass this morning, I felt so energized and empowered. I thought, this is wonderful. Typically before talk, I get very nervous. I'm very focused inward. Mass helped draw me out of myself to realize that there's so much more. That simply what I'm doing is just a conduit, hopefully, of the Holy Spirit to share with you that you might be encouraged to go in the new evangelization. And not just think of it simply as a simple program. Oh, my parish is doing the new evangelization. We started this. No, my parish is doing the new evangelization because all of us are now reaching out. Our mission is about sharing the gospel with everyone we meet, and that's my mission. Each one of us saying, this is my mission, is to share Christ. When I go to soccer, when I'm in the grocery store, when I'm at work, I'm always going to be consistent because I encounter Christ every day. And that encounter has transformed me. and brought me, made me a disciple of Christ that goes out to the peripheries. It goes out to the marginal, and it goes out to the people that I'm even sometimes uncomfortable to be with, because I love Christ and I see Christ in that person. I'm no longer afraid because it is Christ that I'm going to. I'm not afraid to do something that's outrageous or different because it's Christ that's doing it. And my parish, by focusing on mission, helps me enter into that. And in conclusion, we realize it's not our work. We can't do it on our own. It's when we surrender, truly like I did in Florida, just more like gave up, and just trust in the Holy Spirit, that the new evangelization will bear fruit. And so I'd like to close together praying to the Holy Spirit, the prayer we most of us should know. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you very much.